This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Sharmila Ganesan and Lim Soo Ann. So earlier we were talking about the KL draft structure plan, which you really, really need to get your hands on somehow or other. There is a briefing happening tonight. Please go and find out more about that. Now on to our second story. We're wondering if you discuss major news stories with your children.
Which is exactly what we are asking you on Twitter. Do you take the time to discuss major news stories with your children? And 33% of you say yes, you do, while actually though 45% of you say only beyond a certain age. And finally, coming in last is a no, 21% of you say no, but that's still a fairly large number of people who don't discuss news stories with their children, or wait until they're at a certain age, which I think seems to be the overwhelming sort of consensus here. And the reason we're asking you that is exactly what our next story is about. You can continue to take that poll at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So, I guess there was a time when you had to go out and buy a newspaper to find out, you know, what the latest news is, to read all the headlines. It's either that or you had to switch on the TV or your radio at, you know, particular hours of the day to hear the news. But I think, today, things are a lot different than they used to be.
Yes, you know, the internet has made access to news so incredibly easy. Social media has made it practically unavoidable. And, you know, news on social media and the internet is almost like sand in the Sahara Desert. It's just everywhere.
And sometimes nearly as uncomfortable.
That's true. And this is mostly great, of course, but it enables us to be more aware of what's going on around us, so that we're exposed to the going-ons across the globe, as well as for us to gain perspectives from different voices.
But constantly being exposed to news, especially upsetting and uncomfortable news, could turn out to be a problem, because one minute you're enjoying your delicious bowl of cereal for breakfast while scrolling through Facebook. The next, you're smacked in the face with breaking news on, I don't know, mass shooting or terrorism or volcano eruptions. You know, it can be really, really depressing.
Mm. And, you know, if we look here in Malaysia, the recent political turmoil was quite difficult to deal with. You know, I think regardless of which side of the fence you're on, whether you are happy with the appointment of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as our new prime minister or not, the days leading up to when we had a new government in place, you know, that was quite an incredibly confusing experience for most of us.
Mm. And we did discuss this yesterday on the Daily Digest, where we spoke about the impact on our mental health when it comes to political turmoil. And, you know, according to the American Psychological Association, 69% of Americans say that the future of their nation causes them significant stress. And 62% of them said that their current political climate, which this is post the election of President Donald Trump, that the current political climate causes them stress. And also the survey also said that this stress can actually manifest in many ways, both emotionally, it causes you worry or tension or you become irritable, but even physically. So things like insomnia or stomach problems or headaches.
Yep. And, you know, it's not just politics, of course, because, of course, now there is news of COVID-19. So, for example, there are 7 new positive COVID-19 cases as of today, according to the Health Ministry, and the total recorded cases for Malaysia now stands at 36. Of course, this is an important news story that we should constantly be updated on, but it doesn't change the fact that it is really quite scary.
Mm. So, I mean, you have to wonder, right? It's if we as adults feel troubled, we feel sad by all this bad news that we're constantly exposed to, then what more about to children? You know, what can we do as adults to help them process all of this? So earlier today, for some insights into this, I got in touch with counsellor Johanna Johari, and I started by asking her whether children actually understand what they're seeing when they come across upsetting news.
No, they don't. And it's very different from when the time of before the internet and social media, where children would develop psychologically in a natural way. They first, you know, are exposed to their immediate family and then neighborhood, school, and whatever. But nowadays, with the internet and social media, the world, the outside world, comes uncensored right into their gadgets. Mm-hmm. So it definitely has an impact on them in the way that they develop anxiety at a very young age. And they would be more afraid and having panic attacks and such.
Mm-hmm. And so are there certain signs that parents or family members can look out for to make sure that, you know, children's mental health is not being negatively affected by bad news?
Well, the actual signs that you can look for when they are negatively affected by scary news is the child would appear more clingy, they would have more temper tantrums, they would act a lot younger than their age.
Mm-hmm.
They would have sleeping problems as well. They will not be sleeping well. Either they're afraid to fall asleep or they would have nightmares. They would appear more irritable. They would talk more about death and dying. So these are very difficult, especially about death and dying. It's actually topics that parents are very uncomfortable or not prepared to talk about with their very young children.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned anxiety and panic attacks earlier. Are those the most common forms of mental health issues that would affect children as a result of seeing scary news?
Yes, and usually anxiety also comes with depression, and we are seeing a lot more of depression in young children, and this is very alarming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then, I mean, this is all due to increased exposure to social media, right? So is there an appropriate age then to allow kids to go online, or is that even possible to prevent kids from doing so?
Well, one thing that is good about the age of internet and technology is that there are plenty of internet safety lessons that are available as resources for parents to refer to. And among these internet safety lessons, they emphasize on the complexities of topics that come up in the internet, and it helps the students to build the critical thinking skills and the habit of mind to navigate the dilemmas that they encounter online.
Mm-hmm.
And each lesson needs to be tailored to the child's age group. There are plenty of resources online, such as commonsense.org, where parents can learn how to slowly introduce their children to the world of internet and are able to access the myriad of movies, TV shows, books, apps, and games that has been reviewed and rated with families in mind.
Mm-hmm. So would you have any advice for parents who, you know, whether it's news of, it's traumatic news or it's news of, I guess, like recently we're seeing a lot of political turmoil, how can parents break that news to their kids? Should they do so?
Well, frankly speaking, children don't care about politics. It's the parents who are actually upset by any of the adult issues news.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at children, if depending on their age, kids who are younger than or at the age of going to kindergarten or nursery schools, they would only be interested in watching YouTube videos of cartoons and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as they get older, the more complex their choice of entertainment online would be.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to breaking scary or uncomfortable world news to the children, say, for example, 6 years ago, we had MH370. That is something that you can definitely, have challenges explaining to the children, right?
Mm-hmm.
The disappearance of an aeroplane. So I would suggest that, you know, parents be honest with what's happening, but do spare the children the gory details of the event, because kids, they tend to take cues from adults in how and how they see their parents react.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important to answer the questions in a matter-of-fact way. The younger your child, the less mature he or she is,
mm-hmm.
the simpler the explanation should be. However, do expect some follow-ups even days later, because kids tend to take time to process the information. You know, it takes a while for them to digest it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, as an adult, as a parent, you are devastated by an event, it's okay to admit that you are sad or upset. In doing so, you are also giving your child permission to express any feelings they may have. do avoid venting your fears in the presence of your children, because you will alarm them in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just a brief explanation of what happened, suggest talking about it later and wait until you are in a better frame of mind to follow up with any discussion. But most importantly, ensure that your explanations are age-appropriate. Steer their attention on seeing there are still many good things that is being done out there. There are still many good people that are doing good deeds out there rather than the bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
Trace the efforts of rescuers so your child will know that the situation is under control. If, despite everything else that you have done, your child is still fearful after 3 weeks, do consult a child psychologist. Most kids process scary stories just fine, as long as the people in their lives and their community are supportive and are there for them.
So you just heard from Counselor Johanna Johari talking about, I guess, how you can break sort of, so how you can talk to your kids about upsetting news that they might see, you know, whether across social media, hearing about it from adults, you know, on the news and just the world around them.
Yeah, I know my daughter was very curious as to why, you know, I was so upset last week about all the political drama. So I had to find a tactful way to kind of explain, or just like, there are some things that are being done legally, but they're not morally right. And of course, she didn't understand a word I said, but she did understand that there were some changes happening. But and also, she's curious about COVID-19, like, because I keep saying we can't go out. There's a very bad disease running around. You know, you just got to explain that we just need to. It's very hard. Like, you just have to kind of explain why we need to be at home, and that there's something happening that's bigger than all of us, and we just need to take precautions. But I guess just breaking it down as much as possible.
Yeah. I was out with my best friend over the weekend with her daughter, who's 8, and she was trying to figure out basically democracy, as the rest of us are. She was trying to ask, you know, why, you know, oh, we have a new PM, but, you know, why are people, you know, saying maybe that's not the way and all that. And so my friend used this very simple analogy of, you know how you pick your Ketua Darja and you guys all get to choose and vote. And then she's like, you know, the problem is if, you know, the vote is done in this way versus if somebody just picks a Ketua Darja. So I thought that was quite a clever way to like break it down. I also really like Johanna's idea of not just focusing on the negatives, but also highlighting all the positive work that people are doing, because I think we do tend to fall into that hole a little bit and not talk about, not necessarily sanitizing news, but talking about the fact that even when things go wrong, there are always people who are doing good work.
Mm.
And I think that's worth highlighting to children.
Because it's very easy to lose sight of that.
Yeah.
Yes, and you want to make sure that the kids have sort of a balanced perception of things, you know, that while things are bad, even if things are bad, there are still good things that are still happening, and just getting them to, I guess it goes back to what you were saying, breaking it down so that they understand it at their level.
Yeah.
So actually, the UK Mental Health Foundation has quite a few useful tips on how adults can talk to children about scary world news. So one is saying that a news blackout is rarely helpful for them. So you want to avoid turning the television off. You want to avoid closing web pages when you see your kids coming into the room, because this really can just, you know, pique their interest on to really want to find out what's going on, right? Because if you see an adult suddenly closing something, you're probably curious to know what happened. And you also want to let them know the facts, because if children have access to clear and honest explanations about what is happening, that they know it's okay to talk about scary or tricky subjects, it gives them that confidence to even speak up to adults about it.
It also says to discourage overexposure. So large doses of news can have a negative impact, as children can become fixated on a news story. So to avoid overexposure, you should encourage them to discuss the news story with you once they have read about it. And this provides a safe space for all of their questions. Another tip is to let your children know that they are safe. So the best way to communicate safety is by talking about worrying news with open, confident, clear and truthful facts.
And they also say that you should let them know that it is normal to be concerned, because you would want them to leave this conversation realizing that even though bad things happen, that they don't happen very often, so they don't have to be scared all the time. However, they say that these conversations should be tailored to their age as well. well. So if you have more than one child and they're different, significantly different ages, you might want to talk about them individually and sort of tailor that conversation depending on their own needs and their levels.
Yeah, and also, you know, leave lots of space for questions. Encouraging them to ask lots of questions is very important because it allows a space for a very truthful and open explanation that can help correct these. And you should also, of course, be as truthful as possible. It's often more helpful to be honest, as honest as you can be, because, you know, this is also true of questions when you don't know the answer. So remember that it's okay not to know or to go away and find out more before you get back to them.
I think that's... I often think that people, in order to protect children, sometimes resort to not entirely telling the truth. And then probably it's not helpful, because if they hear contrary versions elsewhere, then it becomes even more confusing.
So we did ask you something on social media about this.
Yes, so we were asking you whether you take the time to discuss major news stories with your children. And it looks like the largest number of votes goes to only beyond a certain age. So nearly 43% of you say you do take the time, but only beyond a certain age. While nearly 36% of you say yes, you do take the time to discuss major news stories, while 21.4% of you say no, you don't take the time. So you can actually continue to share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio on Twitter, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yeah, but I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. You can also look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture if you'd like to drop us a message. And if you miss any part of the show, you know, this segment or the earlier segment, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can look us up on the BFM app, and you can also find us on Spotify. That's all we have for today. For now, it's The Who with The Kids Are All Right. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.